activate the view screen, and turn on your universal translators, because it is time for another Galactic Netcast. Brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This is the show where we discuss the thing, where the place is in the stuff. Oh, I see.
You started doing this goofy intro thing.
Okay. Let me start over again.
We interrupt this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object traveling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned out cinder.
This could be the beginning of the end for the human race. Human beings cower before the onslaught of these unearthly enemies.
It's Thursday, May 16th, 2013. Welcome to another Galactic Netcast. In this episode, we discuss concept art and plot revealed for Guardians of the Galaxy, possible reasons why some believe in UFOs, Zeban peace offerings, ooh, can't wait, and we'll find if Procyonians are our friends on the alien invasion number 69.
Talked about this before the show.
I know. That's how my brain works.
See, you and I kind of trade back and forth. When you have the language problems, I'm good. And when I have the language problems, you're good. So yeah.
And I always have the language problems. So yay!
This is the alien invasion from Waterloo, Iowa. I'm Dave. Jerry Lundgaard Nelson, also here from Fargo, North Dakota, is Brad Carl Showalter Ludwig and Anessa Marge Gunderson Moyens from Denton, Texas. How you guys doing?
Awesome.
All right.
I think we all figured out where the names are from already. They're from
the movie Fargo.
Yeah, where you are. You are in the actual town, the city of Fargo, North Dakota.
Yep, and I even got my picture taken with the actual honest-to-God wood chipper that was used in the movie.
And you should talk about your trip to the alien restaurant.
It's called Space Aliens. And it is, imagine if you took a Chuck E. Cheese, combined it with a bar, and just changed everything so it's alien-themed. They've got some framed stories from the Weekly World News, like Bill Clinton endorsed by aliens, all sorts of different things around there, some interesting artwork that is alien and or space themed. The center of the area of the restaurant is domed, and they have a mural painted of kind of a starry sky, and then there's a couple of planets up painted in there, and it's just really kind of a neat kind of setup. And I posted this picture from a portion of the menu. The burger that I got was called the Planet Zombie Taco Burger.
Sweet.
I read that and I had to get it because, you know, you have to. It was great.
So is this going to be your pick for the week?
No, actually, I saw Oblivion, so I'm going to be talking about that.
Okay, awesome. This is the show where we talk about all things, about beings from else. I can't speak. I can't read tonight. Reading not converting into words for me. This is a show where we talk about beings from elsewhere in the universe and their appearances in film, TV, video games, comic books, science, real life. I could go on and on. The show is divided into three delectable sections. The news, the creature feature, our spotlight of a certain kind of aliens, and our picks for the week. For our audio subscribers, if you'd like to see us record the show live, just follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google+, and we'll let you know when and where it's going to be. When we do the show, you can find it at galacticnetcasts.com/. That's a front slash, not a backward slash, a front slash live. I don't think people even use backslashes anymore. They're all
not
front.
Really.
Yeah.
I do. Not for web addresses, though. I have to use it when I log in to the computers at school. We do the other slash.
Okay. All right. Thanks for sharing, Anessa.
You're welcome.
All right, let's start with the news, shall we? Here we go.
In the news.
And Brad, you're going to talk Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, it's got space, it's got comic books. Yes. Thank you, Anessa, for giving me this story.
Seemed like it would be your thing.
It's right up my alley.
Early?
That sounded kind of dirty. Sorry about that. Okay, Guardians of the Galaxy, new concept art image, plot detail revealed. Guardians of the Galaxy, the Marvel Cinematic Universe's first entry into the cosmic theater, has released a revealing item of concept art along with some new details from Marvel Studios' main man, Kevin Feige. Exclusive to Entertainment Weekly, we see in the pic in silhouette of what appears to be a young boy standing in awe directly in front of the alien spacecraft of some kind. As the report reveals, that kid is a young Peter Quill, the main protagonist in the film, who eventually will grow to be the leader of the team of cosmic crusaders, known as Star-Lord, and he will be played by Chris Pratt of Zero Dark Thirty and Parks and Recreation. We see young Peter during his first extraterrestrial encounter, a moment in his life other than the mysterious death of his mother that would define him. It's also a moment that would push him to pursue a career in NASA, taking him to space where fate would intervene, and he learns that his father was actually an alien, Whoa. Proving himself to be a true living phenomena with untapped superpowers. Peter's path of the hero, hero's journey leads him being recruited by an intergalactic police force called the Guardians of the Galaxy, eventually deeming him worthy enough to be a leader of his own team. As Kevin Feige reveals in Entertainment Weekly, Guardians takes place within the continuity of the other movies, but it's on the other side of the universe, Feige says. We've always wanted to do a space movie. He's obsessed. I'm obsessed with Star Wars. I'm obsessed with Star Trek. Guardians of the Galaxy is set to hit theaters August 1st of 2014.
So they're already...
Directed by James Gunn.
It's already in development, eh?
Yes, yep. They've already cast the woman who plays the part of Uhura. I can't remember her name now.
Zoe Saldana?
Yeah. She'll be playing the part of Gamora, who is the last of her race and is an assassin. So she will actually be green-skinned like Whoa. The comic book character. Yeah.
Professional wrestler/actor,
I can't remember his name now, is going to be playing another part.
Something or other.
That sounds right, yeah.
I don't remember the first name, but it's Batista.
Yeah, that's his name. That's his wrestling name, isn't it? Just yeah. Batista?
Yeah, but I think it's like it's part of his actual name.
Okay, all right. So it's interesting that Zoe Saldana is playing another alien. I think she's a science fiction fan because she was in Avatar, right? Well, sort of. She was green screened in. She was computer generated into her voice. And I think her likeness. I think they actually used their likenesses to develop the characters of Avatar.
Yeah, they did model them after them to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dave Bautista is playing Drax the Destroyer. Yeah.
Wasn't there a story that came out this week or just recently about, isn't there like some kind of small animal, one of the...
Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah. That seems silly to me.
There was some rumor or hopes that David Tennant would voice.
Oh, that's what the story was. That's what I read. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there. You know, the thing I always kind of equated Guardians of the Galaxy with the Green Lantern Corps to a certain degree. There were certain. It was Marvel. The X-Men ran afoul of them. not the Guardians. Shoot.
Nessa and I are not going to be able to help you, Brad.
Yeah, I know. I apologize. But Marvel had their own, like, Legion of Superheroes team, and it always struck me as the Guardians of the Galaxy were sort of a Green Lantern Corps. They're both police forces. They had their own... in DC, they had an alien who looked pretty much like a large chipmunk. His name was Chip.
was That's a stretch.
Yeah, it was a stretch. A beloved character. He's funny, sarcastic, and you had Rocket Raccoon, which is sort of the same type of character. So it just, there were points where they had parallels of types of teams or characters between the two companies. So
and they're both, what, Green Lantern is DC?
Yeah, Green okay. Lantern is DC.
All right. So next summer is going to be another blockbuster of another summer of great blockbusters, it seems.
Yeah, and James Gunn is going to be directing it, who directed probably one of my favorite alien sci-fi horror films, Slither. So
I've never seen that. What's that about?
I haven't seen it either.
It's gross, but it's wonderful. Nathan Fillion is the sheriff of a small town, and oddly enough, Michael Rooker, who is in Guardians of the Galaxy, will be playing a character, the character Yondu. He is a big-time businessman in this small town, and he gets infected by an alien that came to Earth in like a chunk of meteorite, and an all-out invasion of this small town takes place.
Wow.
It's a really gross and disgusting and funny movie. It's just, it's wonderful. It's absolutely
funny,
wonderful.
Like cheesy funny, like they tried to be serious, but it ended up funny, or purposefully funny?
Purposely.
Okay.
That's kind of James Gunn's style, is he could take something sort of wander onto the edge of B-movie-dom, but it was intentional. You know, he could always pull it back and make it that, but you'd walk up to the edge and hit a trope and then come back. So he just artfully done.
What else? What else has he done, James Gunn? Something recently.
Yeah, he's done. Here we go. He has directed. I love his hair too. He wrote the game Lollipop Chainsaw. Oh, he did the series of PG porns. They get porn actors and actresses to do stuff, or it would be like Nathan Fillion did one of the PG porns. It would take a situation that would be, it could turn into a porn movie, but it's not. It's actually a PG equivalent of it.
Oh my god, that's funny.
With a helpful bus, High Poon, Genital Hospital, as names of the episodes.
Wow.
That's brilliant.
It's all PG. And there's no nudity. There's no, you know, no anything like that. It's just hilarious. He did the Scooby-Doo movies.
Yep, he did Dawn of the Dead, the remake.
Yep.
Interesting. All right, cool. So, are you guys ready to move on to the next story?
Sure.
Hey, before we do, though, asking for feedback. We want to know what you listeners think of the stuff that we, the hosts, be talking about. So, here's how you can get a hold of us. GalacticNetCasts@gmail.com. That's the email address. GalacticNetCasts@gmail.com. You can call our voicemail number, too. That is 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966. And no matter how many times I say it, I forget the number. When I have to go back at the end of the show, I always forget how it goes. So
okay, so just so you know, Dave, I pasted it at the bottom of the show. So
yay! Thank you, Anessa. You are a savior. That's awesome.
I have my moments.
All right, so again, galacticnetcast@gmail.com, voicemail 805-328-3966. Please leave a comment what you think of the stuff that we're talking about. All right, here we go. Do you guys believe in UFOs? Brad Ludwig, go.
I believe that it is possible. I'm not 100% certain that we've been... Oh, boy, that's a really tough question. I think it's possible, but I'm not sure. I've not seen compelling evidence of it yet.
Okay, when I say UFOs, I mean actual alien and or interdimensional crafts and beings. So,
yep.
Anessa.
Because I was going to say, like, as far as UFOs and the term unidentified flying object, yes, there's definitely things that you just don't know what's flying around.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's like an interdimensional being or intergalactic being, I don't know. It's really hard to say. I mean...
Okay. Well, then you're not within the 36% of Americans who believe aliens have visited Earth. That's according to a 2012 National Geographic poll. And why do you think people believe? Or what type of people do you guys think believe in UFOs? Just spitballing here. What's your opinion?
Well, judging by the phone calls I get about there's this object. It's people that I think maybe have too much time on their hands, have seen a few too many like conspiracy theory shows.
Okay.
I don't necessarily think that they're crazy.
Okay.
I guess, but I don't know. I think they're just looking for something to believe or experience that really isn't there.
Okay. Well, you're close. Researchers at the University of Westminster and Vienna have identified a host of factors. I tried saying
proverbial.
Yeah, that word.
Proverbial.
Yeah. Proverbial.
Proverbial.
Proverbial. Host of factors that appear to correlate to belief in UFOs, all right? Gender, politics, religiosity, intelligence, fantasy, proneness, even certain psychological disorders like schizophrenia. So, studies and polls have found, for instance, that conservatives and religious people believe in UFOs far less than liberal or less religious peers. See, I consider myself not as religious as most, and I believe in UFOs, or I believe in extraterrestrial beings in crafts visiting this planet. So I guess I'm in that category. Also, women, interestingly enough, are more likely to believe in ghosts, and I have a personal opinion on that. My feeling is women respond or believe in things more intimately, and I think maybe that's a closer thing to...
Yeah, I could see that.
I can see that.
Yeah. The children of believers are also more likely to spot extraterrestrial life, according to parapsychologist Harvey Irwin. But the enduring power of UFOs doesn't seem like something we can explain away as delusion or demographic. Why did you put all these big words in this story?
And see, I gave you the story that didn't have Teotihuacan in it.
Thank you. Proclivity. Thank you. Proclivity.
Yes.
You know, I'm intelligent. I just can't
you
say
are.
Words.
That's
okay.
Fine.
Okay.
There's no
put
shame
it in your
that.
Own words, Dave.
Okay.
You've read the story, then just say, this is... Forget about the words on the page.
You know, and I'm a DJ. I talk for a living. Why do I have an issue with this? I don't get
it. You've clocked out. That's why. You're not actually on
the clock. It's like
the
end of the day, and you're like, I'm done.
Yeah. I've used it all up.
Exactly.
Okay, so the belief seems to spring from someplace deeper, like deep down, the same place that forced early humans to make up myths to explain the weather. These stories explain things we don't or can't understand. Without these stories, psychologist Stephen Diamond explains in an essay on UFOs and the cry for meaning. We have to accept the fact that some things mean nothing and others are totally beyond us. A strange, frightening, and ultimately deflating thought. In fact, it's arguably easier to believe the universe is full of life, even hostile life, than to believe the universe holds no meaning at all. So basically what they're saying is it's a comforting thought to believe that there's other life out there than it is to believe that there's nothing, that we're alone. You know? We just want to have friends. We want to have connection with other life. And that's why people...
I need a hug, Dave. Give me a hug.
Aww.
They also say that belief in UFOs is very similar to belief in God.
And that would explain why they mentioned that like religious people don't believe in aliens as much, because they already have something to believe in.
Yeah, exactly. And you just did a... mentioned a Poison song. Give me something to believe in. Something to believe in. Sorry. Okay. Brad's just shaking his head going.
It's Poison, not one of my favorite bands from that era.
Okay. Sorry. All right. But good point, Anessa. It's, you know, since I don't necessarily believe in God, I'm more likely to believe in UFOs because I have a human need to believe in something.
It'd be pretty depressing if there was nothing else out there, just us.
Yeah. And it's cosmically, I mean, just do the math. There's a better chance that there is somebody or some things, creatures, other life out there than there isn't life out there.
And the fact that we found so many extrasolar planets, and some of those are within the kind of the life sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
It seems more and more likely that we aren't alone.
Although, speaking about the extrasolar planets,
Kepler might be going down.
Died.
Yeah.
Much.
That sucks.
Years and years or something.
What?
Starting to. Yeah, it's experiencing technical difficulties, and they're like, it's pretty much done at this point. Because there's not really an easy way to, I guess, go up there and repair things.
Where is Kepler located?
Space.
But where? It's not in, like, it's not in orbit, right? It's out farther, isn't it?
I honestly don't remember exactly where Kepler is.
Orbit height is 92,955 miles.
But it's
miles.
Still hanging around Earth, though.
Yeah.
So, but it's high orbit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
It needs to definitely be away from our atmosphere and, like, pollution and all that.
I think they're going to be sending up another one soon, another planet hunter of some kind.
Hopefully.
They launched Kepler in March of 2009.
So it's a fairly new.
Have a very long life for it to start to crap out.
You know what?
It's funny how that works. Like, things that they intend to use, well, not always, but because I was just thinking about how, like, Kepler, you know, it's only been around for, like, what, 5 years-ish?
Yeah.
4 years? 5 years? Versus Opportunity, which was launched like 9 years ago now, and it's actually set a new record. It broke the record for driving the longest distance in space.
Wow.
So, yeah.
You know, we've been a little spoiled by Hubble, too.
Yeah, and, well, Hubble's also on its way out, too. They just went up there a couple years ago or so, did their last bit of repairs, and they're like, okay, we're going to keep using Hubble until it, like, putters out and quits. So
I saw a comparison chart of those type of crafts. I think it was all like laboratories, and Hubble was on the list. And Hubble's pretty big. But then everything is dwarfed by ISS. ISS is huge.
Well, yeah, because unlike Hubble, ISS has to house people for extended periods of time.
I recently saw Skylab for the first time in a long time, like video of the astronauts inside Skylab. And that was just basically a glorified spaceship with solar wings on it.
So
interesting.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, like Opportunity and has lasted a lot longer than they expected it to. They only thought it'd last for like, what, a couple of years or so?
It's the Energizer Bunny. Keeps going and going and going.
Keeps going. So.
All right. So interesting study about people that believe in UFOs. Let's move on to story number 3 and Anessa.
All right. So this story comes from the Weekly World News, so you know it's totally legit.
Yeah.
And alien balls are being found all over Mexico.
What?
That's right.
Wait, what?
Alien balls.
Alien testicles?
Zeven orbs. Zeven orbs are being called the most significant extraterrestrial find in the last 100 years. So these are golden orbs. They're just, I don't know that they are Zeven testicles, but the balls are from planet Zeba and represent offerings of peace. The Zevens have come here to help humans save Earth, and these golden balls will help us in ways we do not know yet, says Dr. John Malley of the UN Panel on Extraterrestrials. Some of the golden balls were found in Teotihuacan, an ancient abandoned city about an hour north of Mexico City. This is significant because extraterrestrial experts say that Teotihuacan... Oop, my document moved.
See, it happened to you too, yeah.
Yeah, so this is significant because extraterrestrial experts say that Teotihuacan is ground zero for alien spirituality. The Zevens are obviously gathering in Mexico and preparing to reveal themselves to all humans. The orbs appear to be golden, and scientists told the Weekly World News that the golden color comes from jarosite, which forms when pyrite, also known as fool's gold, oxidizes. Back in 300 AD, similar balls were used in ceremonies or rituals. The beautiful, glimmering balls of gold are signs of peace, love, and harmony. Sorry, people. I'm laughing at Dave's reaction.
I've never heard the use of the word balls in so many times in one story.
I'm sorry, what word? Balls? You want to handle some of these alien balls, don't you?
I do not want to handle...
Check out some of these alien balls.
No, I don't want to handle alien balls.
All right. Mexicans that have seen the balls are saying that they feel an overwhelming feeling of love for their fellow man. Once you look at a golden ball, you don't want to look away. They make you feel like you are in love with the universe.
Do you think handling...
These balls...
Do you think handling these balls, these golden balls, gives somebody pleasure?
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, I mean... They're saying that these balls make you feel like you're in love with the universe. So obviously you get some sort of like fuzzy feeling by handling these balls. So it makes you feel warm and fuzzy inside.
Why is it that one word turns me into a 12-year-old? Why? How does that work? I don't understand it.
I don't know, but...
Because you're fully in touch with your
although
inner 12-year-old.
Although it's kind of like with Brad and Meowgrit Thatcher. So it's okay. It happens to everyone. See?
Sorry.
But at least that's a clever play on words. It's not just balls.
Balls. So yeah, like, these are apparently magical jarosite balls. Golden color. And experts predict that the aliens from planet Zeba will come from the alien balls and introduce themselves to humans within 6 months. So we will have to stay tuned to the Weekly World News to find out more about these golden balls and what comes up from these balls.
So...
And here's what the alien balls look like. See, they are golden balls.
Hang on.
They're all stacked there. They're in a nice big ball pile. Perhaps you can jump into the ball pile and roll around.
It would be like a...
Like a Scrooge McDuck money pond.
But with balls.
With balls.
So there's little Zebens inside these balls?
Apparently there's little Zebens inside these balls.
Oh.
That make people feel like they're in love when they handle these balls of love.
Okay. The title of this episode is going to be either be Golden Balls or Balls of Love.
I like Balls of Love.
Balls of Love. Okay.
You two can handle the balls of Zeban love.
So, yes.
They look very pleasant, those golden balls.
Round and shiny.
They don't look intimidating, those balls.
No, not at all.
So, they are friendly.
They look like they just
friendly balls.
Fit in your hand very comfortably.
Is it?
Oh, maybe you could use them like the little meditation balls.
Oh, yeah,
like
the
right
yeah.
Size. You can...
Oh, I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say Benoit balls or something.
Okay, stop, 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 stop. We can. Let's move on, shall we? I think we've covered enough balls.
Yes.
For this episode,
alien balls as much as we possibly can.
Yeah. Right.
So yes, we'll see.
Dave's throwing in the ball towel.
These balls.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you, Anessa. Good job. By the way. Do you guys get the impression that the Weekly World News globs onto anything that could be just the little, just an inkling of alien related?
Yes. I would love to work for the Weekly World News and just write random crazy stories about like alien balls.
Okay. Okay. How can we put an alien twist on this story? Go.
Balls. But how do they make you feel? Like I'm in love with the universe.
Warm and fuzzy.
Warm
Let's
and
go
fuzzy.
With the balls.
All right. The Galactic Net, or this Galactic Netcast, this alien invasion, is brought to you by Audible.com. For you, our listeners, Audible is offering a absolutely free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their service and to coincide with the theme of this here podcast. May we suggest Lost and Found, The Taken Trilogy, Book 1 by Alan Dean Foster. Are you guys ready for the description?
Hit me.
Yes.
Not so long ago, Marcus Walker was just another young commodities trader in Chicago. But that's all in the past since he was attacked while camping and tossed aboard a starship bound for deep space. Instead of being a rich hotshot at the top of the food chain, Walker discovers he's just another amusing novelty, part of a cargo of cute aliens from primitive planets, destined to be sold as pets to highly advanced populations and in civilized regions of the galaxy. Another man might resign himself to the inevitable and hope to be sold to a kindly owner, but not Walker. This former college football star has plenty of American ingenuity and no intention of admitting defeat, nor now or ever. In fact, he's only just begun to fight.
America.
America. So there you go. Lost and Found, The Taken Trilogy, Book 1. Pick that as your free audio Audible pick or any other book. Free 30-day trial. Go to Galactic Netcasts or go to audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Again, that's audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. And we thank them for their support of the alien invasion. Let's move on to the creature feature.
And now it's time for Creature Feature.
Brad, you okay?
You're freaking me out.
So in other news, we're going to be talking about the Procyonians.
That's the Creature Feature this week.
Yes.
All right, go, so, Anessa. Go, go, go.
Apparently, they're friendly towards humans.
Yay!
Unlike some of the other aliens that are out to get us, I guess.
Those freaking guys.
They're on our side, much like the Zeebans with their friendly balls. So yeah, the Procyonians or Procyonians, however you want to say it, actually come from a solar system. That's part of Procyon. Procyon is a binary system, which is also classified as the alpha star for Canis Minor, which if you guys have ever looked at Canis Minor, maybe like up in the sky or on a star map, you basically see like two dots for Canis Minor.
Is it because it represents the canine teeth?
No.
Two dots?
Well, because you have Canis Major, which is the big star, the big dog, and the alpha star is Sirius, so you end up with like the logo for Sirius XM. And then you have Canis Minor, which ends up being like two stars, and they're actually, I believe they're the hunting companions for Orion, the hunter.
Oh, okay, so that's where the Canis comes from, is they're actually dogs.
They're actually dogs, yes.
Okay, all right.
They are dogs, and they hang out with Orion. So yeah, Procyon is located 11.46 light years from Earth, and apparently the Procyonians have also been nicknamed the Swedes. They are humanoid in appearance with brown or golden hair, and apparently are really tall. It's 7 to 9 feet. One description that I came across said that the men were very muscular and very well endowed. So apparently they do have... Yes. And then the women are very fit and very curvy. So they're also, I guess, very well endowed in their own way.
And I heard in my research, too, I discovered that they make really good, inexpensive furniture as well.
But with really crap directions.
Yeah. And a bunch of Allen wrenches.
The Swedes. IKEA.
Yeah, I got it, but I'm not...
Okay. I don't know, you just had this look, and I...
Yeah, no, that was the, we went there, really, look for IKEA.
Sorry.
So yeah, Procyonians.
Oh, they've crossbred.
They've actually, yes, they have bred with humans in the past, and that also helps explain the evolution of humans, apparently. And they are able to travel in time and between dimensions of reality.
Whoa.
And the term Procyon apparently translates into English as the home of those who travel through time. Though it doesn't really say what language Procyon is, but typically the alpha stars are in Arabic, so I haven't actually had a chance to look that up to see if that's true or not. But, yeah, they're here to help us. But they don't really want to interfere too much. They believe that we should have our own free will. They're not trying to control us or anything.
So basically, they're friendlier engineers.
Yes.
Okay.
They're friendly engineers. There you go. And yeah, that's the Procyonians.
Ta-da! Well, I want to party with these guys.
They're really tall.
Because their women are tall and curvy? What,
No, they just seem very nice.
Oh, okay.
They seem like they're helpful. And I need help.
Just with language occasionally.
Oh, you don't know, Brad. You don't know. You don't want to know.
All right, fair enough.
Dave has like this light that he can't reach, and he knows that the Procyonians are 7 to 9 feet tall. So he's like,
yeah, yes.
Thanks.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Inessa. they serve the law of one. That's a cool.
I didn't know what that meant.
Hmm. Maybe
they're
it's just
here to help us help ourselves.
It's not like an army of one. It's the law of one.
The law.
Okay.
Army of one is a band.
It is.
It is. It has the lead singer for Filter, I think, is in that band. It's like a side project that he and
some other
people did.
Richard Patrick.
Yes. Can never remember his name. I always remember Robert Patrick.
Yeah.
I never remember Richard Patrick.
I have a hard time. It's not the same Patrick every time. I forget one of them, but it's not the same one every time.
Oh, I always have a hard time remembering Richard. Sorry, Richard, if you ever listen to this.
Oh, yeah, he's a big fan.
Toots.
He's taking pictures all the time, too. And he's saying, hey, man, nice shot.
Nice shot.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder if he listens to Galactic Netcasts on Stitcher.
Hey.
I wish I could have met you.
Wow. That's funny that you would mention Stitcher, Inessa, because they are a sponsor of this Galactic Netcast.
Sweet.
Yeah. So good timing on your part. Stitcher is like an app that you install on your device, and you can listen to shows like ours. Brad loves Stitcher. Why don't you tell us more, Brad, about Stitcher?
I could totally tell you more. Today, I got a notification because I've signed up with Stitcher, and I get an email when new major stories break, which is kind of cool. Right now, it's loading up as we speak. And when you first pop into it, it gives you short snippets of the top news stories. It's taking a moment or two. The hotel I'm at, for some reason, my phone doesn't jive too well with the internet connection here. So it's taking its time, but it is loading up right now. And it will kick out the first, the kind of rolling important stories throughout the day.
Here,
it's
I'll find
constantly
mine.
Updating.
I'll get mine out.
But I do have my favorites playlist, so I can find other podcasts that offer their shows through Stitcher, and I can actually favorite my shows, and it will list the shows here, and then it'll give me a graphical representation of if I've started to listen to, if I haven't listened to, or if I've completed listening to the most recent episode. But I can also click into a show. It will give me the most recent episode and a little write-up about it, and I can actually play it from here. So it doesn't actually download the episode to the phone. I can actually stream it, which is really kind of cool.
Yeah, especially if, you know, some devices have only built-in memory. They don't have an SD card. So that's helpful to save space, right? Because you're not downloading anything. You're just streaming it off the internet. Now, here's the opening, the flash or splash screen, I guess, or home screen. Whoops.
Scene is set in Cannes for its annual film festival, bringing some of the biggest names in movie making to the south of France.
See, story about Cannes.
Steven Spielberg is
Cannes!
The jury and homegrown actress Audrey Tautou.
So there you go. That's just an example of Stitcher. Stitcher coming at you in your face.
In your face.
So, you might be saying to yourself, but Dave, this is probably only available on iOS, and I have an Android phone. No.
Android,
right here, Android. Okay, but you may be saying, but I have a BlackBerry. Well, my friend, it's available on BlackBerries, too. It's available on Android, iOS, BlackBerry. It's got a Chrome extension. It's in people's cars. Some people have it in their cars, too. So check it out. Go to Stitcher.com/GalacticNetcast. And if you sign up, please use that URL and the promo code GalacticNetcast, because that gets us credit for your signing up. And we would thank you for that. And we thank Stitcher for their support of the Galactic Netcasts network, and particularly the Alien Invasion podcast. All right, let's do our picks. Looks like I'm first. My pick is a show that I stumbled upon on Sunday night. I've been watching more, and apparently going through puberty, I've been watching more live TV recently on my cable system. That's part of my rent here at the old Nelson abode. And I stumbled upon Alien Mysteries on the Discovery Channel. Have you guys checked the show out?
I have not.
Oh, it's awesome. And the episode that I watched took place in Texas, Anessa.
Oh, cool.
Do you know where Stephenville is?
I drive through there when I go visit my parents.
Oh, wow. Well, they had a big-time UFO sighting there back in 2000... Where is it?
January 8th, 2008?
Thank you. Yes, 2008.
See, I would have driven through there possibly around that time, and I didn't see anything.
Okay. Well, yeah.
I feel cheated.
It had to be at that certain night. So, the series chronicles first-person accounts of UFO sightings, alien encounters, and abductions. In each episode, dramatic reenactments recount real life. That's a lot of re's. Reenactments recount real life. Unexplained alien experiences, which are depicted using new state-of-the-art CGI and green screen techniques, as well as each story features scientists and researchers who probe the question, how is this possible? Each story is backed up by credible witnesses, investigative reports, and tangible evidence such as physical markings, photographs, radar reports, and videos. Now, this incident in Stevensville, the episode is titled Lights Over Stevensville, and like Brad said, happened 2008. While sitting around a campfire with his two friends, pilot Steve Allen witnesses what he believes is the most beautiful sunset he's ever seen, until that sunset speeds wildly across the night sky, defying the laws of science and nature, when the bright light breaks into a series of hovering balls, and two F-16s attempt to chase down the mysterious object. Allen and his friends are certain they have seen an actual UFO. Allen reports the incident to the local newspaper and learns more than 60 people witnessed a similar sighting in the area that night, including local constable Leroy Gayton and two of his patrolling officers. So it was a very interesting case, and they do a really, really good job getting expert, you know, commentaries. The guy that came down to investigate this was from MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, which we've mentioned numerous times on the Alien Invasion podcast. And it was kind of funny because the guy from MUFON was trying to get radar reports from the military, but they were stonewalling him. They're like, no, you can't. Then he went to the FAA, and they just said, here, take them. You can have all the radar reports you want. And then since this incident, he's unable to get radar reports. The FAA has changed their policy. They don't just give it out willy-nilly anymore. So this guy caused that to happen. I thought it was kind of interesting. And then there was a side note, very end of this episode. Weeks later, after this sighting, there was another one above this football stadium, this high school football game. A whole stadium full of people saw a UFO hovering above the stadium.
And this was in Stevenville?
Yeah. Well, it was near Stevenville, they said. But it was a UFO hovering above the stadium. They all saw it.
Great.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's hard to dismiss that kind of evidence. So yeah, weekly show on Discovery Channel called Alien Mysteries. I highly recommend it, and that's my pick for the week.
Nice.
Thank you. Better do yours before you fall asleep there, Brad.
Yeah, I'm getting a little sleepy. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I actually had an occasion to go to a movie. Haven't done that in a while, and I saw Oblivion. And that's the latest Tom Cruise movie that's out right now. Really interesting story. It's got all of the post-apocalyptic tropes. You've got, you know, the half-buried Statue of Liberty, or mostly buried Statue of Liberty. You've got this takes place a section of it takes place in the New York area. The Earth has been devastated by war. Mankind is packing up and leaving the Earth. They're sucking up all the water and converting it to another energy source, and they're taking off to the moon of Titan.
Wow.
Your main character is Tom Cruise. He's Jack. I can't remember his last name right now, but Jack is Field Tech 42. And his job is to keep these armored drones active and running. They police the area and keep these large machines that are sucking in ocean water and converting it to an energy source, keeping it safe so that the aliens that are left over from the war don't destroy them. They need that energy to get the large tesseract that's hovering above the Earth that has the rest of humanity on there. They're gathering the energy, and they're going to, you know, launch the Tesseract and take the last bits of humanity to Titan. And then the story starts to kind of go off the rails a bit. Jack has an occasion where he runs into a grouping of these aliens in an old library, and little pieces of the story that Jack has been told is starting to come unhinged. Maybe what he's been told hasn't actually been true. Maybe the war isn't over. Maybe the war is continuing. Maybe the war is not what it seemed at all. And so Jack has to figure it out, figure out what's actually happening. And things kind of come to a head when a pod, an Earth pod with people in hibernation crash on Earth. And he gets one survivor, and his world kind of starts to come completely unglued. And he realizes that things aren't what they seem at all. So it's a very cool sci-fi post-apocalyptic type movie. Well acted. You got Morgan Freeman appearing in the film. Morgan Freeman, of course, is awesome in anything he does. You've got Tom Cruise acting very well, and you've got a couple of other actresses that are in this film that top-notch, do a great job, keep the level of suspense going. The tech and the futureness of the movie aren't distracting. They're just kind of moving the story along. And the story does move at a good pace. I didn't see any real flaws in the plot at all. It's a movie that makes you think. If you're looking for a blockbuster like a Michael Bay film where things are constantly blowing up, this is not the movie for you. This is a kind of a sci-fi thriller or mystery where you're taken through this world, and you're presented bits and pieces of information, and you, along with the character of Jack, are piecing together what has happened to the Earth, what has happened to the people of the Earth, and uncover the mystery and solve it. So a very good, very good film. I highly recommend Oblivion.
It's interesting because the reports that I've heard, they have said that it is all fluff. It's all like candy and no substance.
If you went strictly by the previews of the film, I think that you could get the impression that it's a different type of movie. I don't know where they're getting fluff and no substance. There's, and I don't want to give anything away because the effects aren't really what moved the story, and I think maybe that was what was disappointing people. Jack actually finds a section of the Earth that has been untouched, and he's actually created his own little home away from home. He's got a little shack. He's figured out a way to make electricity. He's got an old record player, some old records, and he listens to music that he remembers from when Earth was not destroyed. I think it's a really good film that people should check out.
And too bad that it didn't do as well at the box office than it could have.
It's a shame. I'm kind of wondering, enough stuff has happened with Tom Cruise that I think people are shying away from it. And I was a person that said, Tom Cruise is in it. I'm not sure I should see it. But I went, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah. And he's got a few more coming our way, too, in the next few years. So.
Yep.
Yeah, and like you mentioned earlier, I think part of it also has to do with the way that it was marketed and presented to people.
Yeah.
And it seemed like it would have a lot more action, and just talking to a couple of other people that went to go see it, they're like, well, it's a lot slower than they expected, and so they were kind of disappointed because it wasn't what they were expecting at all.
Yeah.
But I think knowing that it's not like this action movie where everything's blowing up and Tom Cruise is just jumping from one thing to another, I think I would be okay with that, just knowing that it's not what it seems like in the previews.
I think it had the same problem as John Carter last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, poorly marketed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's a shame. Really, you know, I really feel that like Michael Bay and other directors have really, you know, sci-fi film, things have to be blowing up constantly and there has to be gunfights constantly. And I think that we've kind of been wrecked a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And movies like Oblivion that actually make you think for a moment or two and try to figure out a mystery about the world that your main character is in and try to take that journey with the character. I don't think that that's done all that often, and that's a shame because this is a really well done film.
All right, so. Cool, good job, Brad. Thank you very much. And yes. Let's wrap things up for our picks with Vanessa. What do you got?
I actually have an app.
Whoa! I think that's a we've had apps before.
We've had apps before, but it's been a while. This app, I honestly don't know if it's available for Android, but it's called World 1-to-1. And you're basically playing as this little pizza delivery dude that's trying to deliver pizzas to houses during an alien invasion. So you have to avoid these flying saucers, like shooting beams, and occasionally you come across like the little green men. It's got kind of a retro feel to it, just with the music, very like 8-bit-esque, and it's like it's basically like a runner, like it's non-stop, so you can't like stop and go back, and you're constantly moving. But yeah, you're collecting pizzas, you're trying to get more time, get some cash by delivering the pizzas, and avoiding being shot by a UFO, or I guess beamed up. I hadn't actually gotten to the point where I managed to end up in the beams at the right time. So I don't know what happens or if you just die. But if you run into the little green men, then you die.
Come on, make the sacrifice, Aranessa. Die for the cause.
I found out like what happened if you run into the little green man, so you die. But yeah, it's kind of entertaining. And it was like $1, I think. So.
And to answer your question, it's not available for Android.
No, I don't see it.
Ooh, these people, they need to make it happen.
Yeah.
Headlight Software Inc., if you're listening, make it available on Android.
Well, it sounds like from the Google I.O. this week, they've got that new dashboard. It sounds like people are going to be able to make apps a lot easier than they did before. So hopefully that kind of thing happens faster.
So hopefully, and maybe it'll soon become available on Android. But yeah, for $1, I was entertained. So.
You'd buy that for $1.
I'd buy that for $1, and I did. I actually played it on my iPad, even though it's available on your iPhone only, but because it's not like, I guess because it's 8-bit, it doesn't really matter. I just hit the x2, which makes it bigger, and it doesn't look bad.
Mm-hmm.
So it works out for me. But yeah, I recommend it.
Cool. It's called World 1-1. World-1 or 1-1.
Yep. World-1-1.
Okay. Cool. Well, good job, guys. We will put our recommendations, our picks on the picks page at galacticnetcasts.com. And if you go through our picks page and you buy something, it doesn't have to be our picks either. Just do some shopping on Amazon. You will give us credit, and we'll make some money off your purchases. So we got that going for us. And we thank you for your support of Galactic Netcasts by doing that. Appreciate it. So, hey, do us a favor. Also, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+. And don't forget to subscribe to the Alien Invasion podcast. Just go to galacticnetcasts.com/contacts. Or contact subscribe. It's that simple. Or just look for us on wherever fine podcasts are sold, or for free, because we are free, like Stitcher, other podcast services, iTunes. And while you're on iTunes, don't forget to give us 5 stars and a favorable review. That'd be awesome as well.
Or check out the Mega Feed, too, which has all of our shows.
Yeah, you get Alien Invasion, you get the Sci-Fi Film School, and you get Closer Encounters, and coming back soon, Time Traveling Robots in Space, all that.
Yay!
Yes.
Yeah.
I miss Paul.
Yeah, we need to. We have to figure out the date of its return. So,
got
to
get the band back together.
Yeah. So there you go. That is it. That is it for this podcast. You guys got any final thoughts?
You didn't say the number after I put it there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. get a hold of us. 805-328-3966. 805-328-3966. That's a voicemail number. You can also use it as a text number. So text us what you want to say, or email galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. All right. Now, before we wrap up, final thoughts. Brad.
Find a space aliens restaurant near you and enjoy a Planet Zombie Taco Burger and space fries. I highly recommend it.
Space balls aren't on the on the menu, or golden alien balls?
Not that I saw, but maybe they have a super secret thing that you ask the waitress for alien balls, and maybe they can hook you up. I don't know.
I could say something, but I'm not going to. So, Anessa,
I'd like to get some alien balls in my mouth. Can you help me?
God, totally off the rails. Oh my
God.
Yeah,
I was going to say I'd like to get my hands on some beautiful alien balls that signify peace and love and harmony.
Is that your final thought?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for joining us, guys, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, Dave. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.